Greetings and welcome to Men of Sorrows podcast. I am William Lloyd, a man of sorrow. As you know, Men of Sorrows podcast is geared towards helping men, mainly me, helping men express their grief and sorrow and learn how to mourn in a healthy way. Although it's geared towards men, women are welcome to listen, and we have had women as guests, and we will have we're going to have guests returning this year and this summer. We'll have our regulars, Greg Stutz and Dan Duddy, back. But today I just wanted to give you kind of an update on some of the things that have been part of my journey this past year. One of them is I've read John Burke's book, the sequel to Imagine Heaven, called Imagine the God of Heaven. And I would highly recommend that to anybody. But if you are missing your loved one, I would highly recommend the book. John Burke painstakingly, really what he did is he painstakingly researched all of the near-death experiences and people that have come back and with the claim and the contention that they saw heaven, they saw the other side, they saw and contend that there is life after death. Now, it is amazing, and although I believed it because I read it in the Bible and believed the promises of Jesus Christ and some of the things that the church taught and some of man's interpretation of what the Bible passages mean, I believed that there was an afterlife, that there was a heaven. But I never imagined that it is as amazing as these books, Imagine Heaven, and then the sequel, Imagine God to Heaven, reveal how these books reveal. It's almost too good to be true. But we said we believe it. So how could we not believe what these folks are saying? It's very, very interesting, very, very exhilarating, very thrilling. And it produces a lot of hope. The things that they see, what they all have in common. So I don't want to give it all away. I would say to definitely read it because it does give me hope. I think I've mentioned on other podcasts that the funny thing is, as someone that really the scriptures do speak to me, God has spoken to me through the Bible. I don't use the Bible to tell other people what to do or how they should act. The scriptures are very personal to me. God speaks to me personally. And I found that I am not a counselor. But what I have found in that being a teacher and a pastor is that I am able to, I believe it's one of my gifts, to sit down with the person that is struggling with understanding God and someone that has a pretty good knowledge of the Bible and working through the scriptures with them to teach them and to teach myself and to teach us. Because whenever you're helping somebody, you're really helping yourself as well. And I've learned a lot just from counseling people. And what I mean by counseling is just sitting with the scriptures, hearing their doubts and their fears, and revealing Jesus Christ and God's unconditional love through the scriptures. So the scriptures have always been very personal to me. And I think I said that when Carrie's dad passed away, my son-in-law very thoughtfully got her the book, Imagine Heaven, by John Burke. I don't think Carrie read it. And when I looked at it, I said, I have the scriptures. I don't need that book to tell me that there's life after death. And how do you know it's real? Well, you know, I was letting my fundamentalism show. But anyway, what happened is that when Liam died, I don't know, I reached out for that book. And I am glad I did. It wasn't what I thought. It's amazing. John Burke was an engineer. And he was an unbeliever. He didn't really believe in God. He was somewhat agnostic, atheist. And he was sitting with his dad when his dad was sick and in hospice. And his dad had a book about one of the first NDEs. I don't know which book it was, but he kind of looked through it and said, wow, if there is something to life after death. And when you lose people, you begin to question that. He began to question it. So he looked at the NDE, and then he began to research and talk to other doctors who have researched it. And he heard over 1,000 people who have had what they call a death experience, but were brought back. I say near death, but they died, but they were brought back. We have the technology to do that now. So I think for once, science is speaking and science is on our side. We're bringing people back, and a lot of people don't like to talk about it when they first come back. So John Burke decided to publish a book that these stories were too good to not be told. So recently this year for Christmas, I got the sequel, Imagine the God of Heaven. And what he does in this book is he expounds more on the people's experiences in the book, in their near-death experiences with God, and how it lines up with Scripture. Beautiful read, very encouraging, and what we are headed for, reunion with our loved ones, and what God has in store for us is amazing. It's exhilarating, and it does fill us with hope. It fills us with great hope. So I would highly recommend those reads. And it doesn't matter too much which, if you read the second one first. They're not really that dependent on each other, but I would go in order, Imagine Heaven, and then Imagine the God of Heaven by John Burke. Very encouraging. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, I talked last podcast about exercise and, you know, how that helped me through my grief, and then the recent experience that I had with changing things up and realizing that I was still holding in my body. I wanted to talk about triggers, grief bursts, and waves of grief. They're closely related, but they are different. Now, a grief burst is when, out of nowhere, you're crying, and or it doesn't have to be that you're crying. It could be that all of a sudden you just feel like, for me, sometimes I feel like I got punched in the gut, and other times I'll just burst out crying. And sometimes it's related to what we would call a trigger. Now, a trigger is something that might remind us of the person, or remind us of the tragedy, remind us of the bad news of the death, or remind us where we are. It could be a reminder of any of those things. For example, one day, and I think it was over a year after Liam died, and we went to a restaurant with some friends, and the waiter came up to talk to us, and he had a mask on because it was right when the COVID restrictions were going down here in Florida. So some people were still wearing masks, and he was wearing one. And so he was about Liam's height, my son's height, and when he started talking, his mannerisms reminded me of Liam, and I had to excuse myself from the table. And I went in the bathroom and just broke down and started crying. So that could be a trigger, that you see somebody that reminds you of the person that you lost. And it doesn't, like, seeing, there's other people that I see that remind me of Liam. Like a while back, Grace and I passed somebody in the mall. And I said, "Hey, Liam." And Grace looked, and she started laughing because the kid, he looked like Liam. But it didn't make me cry or anything. It kind of put a smile on my face. But this particular incident, I think it was that the waiter was a little, some of his mannerisms were mannerisms that Liam would do when he was nervous. I think that's why it triggered me. So triggers and grief bursts can go together. Sometimes you're not aware of it. I think I talked here about sometimes when a few months after Liam died, I noticed right about the same time that the detective called me. I didn't realize it was the same time, but I would feel like someone slammed me in the gut. And then after talking to my counselor about it, he said, "Yeah, your body's gearing up for that blow again."
it's gearing up all over again for that blow, that call from the detective, because it would happen around the call. So that was more of a PTSD subconscious. So often you'll have grief burst based on a trigger. Sometimes you might just be in your own thoughts, and then all of a sudden it comes and you're crying. Other times the grief burst might come out of nowhere with no apparent trigger and you're crying. And why they're bursts is that they don't last too long. Many times I cry and I say, and sometimes I do break down in front of my wife or in front of Grace. And they're looking and I can see that they're a little worried. But then I'm done and I look at them. I said, okay, I'm good. Now, a wave of grief, a wave, I think, happens more. And this is just my experience. I'm not an expert and I'm not giving you expert definitions. There's many, 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 many podcasts with experts about grief and grieving. I'm only sharing my experience in my life. That's all I have to give you. But I found that to be helpful when a lot of people did that with me and for me. But a wave of grief, I think, happens in the beginning where it's a longer extended period of time, like you're riding a wave. And what it is this grief comes upon you, and it lasts longer than a few seconds and a few bawling your eyes out. You might not cry during a grief wave. You might cry in periods, but it's a wave that comes, and I think why we call it a wave is you just have to go with it. You have to ride it out. And I remember early on, it was maybe a week or so, maybe it was right after the funeral, and I called my friend John Glenn, and I said, I am in agony. You know, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I can't do this. And he said, you're riding a wave now. You just got to ride it out. Ride it out. And that's when God did speak to me and said, you're thinking, how am I going to live like this for the rest of my life? Don't think that way. The way you need to think is all you have to do is right now. Just do today. All you have to do is today. Sometimes it was, I have to get through this half a day. I have to get to lunchtime at work so I can go cry. I have to get home. And then when I got home, if I could get to my books, and I was reading Imagine Heaven, and I was reading another book called Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering by, his name will come to me. I'll come back. I'll probably shout it out right in the middle of it. But anyway, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering, I would just say, okay, I just have to get to the couch and reading those books. And God would settle me then. This year, this year, May 9th, we just came off of Liam's death date, May 9th. This year, for the first time, everything was in the same day of the week, right? So May 9th, 2019 was a Thursday. May 9th was on a Thursday. Right. So then the next year it wasn't on a Thursday, and the next year it wasn't, and the next year it wasn't. This year, the sequence of events were the exact same day of the week as they happened. So it was a little different. It's 5 years, and they say that anything under 5 years and under is raw, still very early. So now I'm not early anymore. I'm 5 years into this, but this year was different. The day that usually affected me more was May 4th. May 4th was a Saturday. Liam and I hung out together. We took a long drive out to Okeechobee together. I taught a class. He hung out with my friend John Glenn. And then we hung out after the class, and we had the long drive back together, and we talked. He was in the house, and we laughed. We were joking around about something my dad said. And I remember that day because that was the last day I saw him. So that was a Saturday, May 4th. And then Thursday, May 9th. And then Mother's Day was on May 11th. And I remember we were talking about it. Mother's Day was horrible. You know, I was just in such agony. And then May 16th, which was a Thursday, was an exact week after Liam died, we had his service out at Freedom Ranch. And then May 18th was a Saturday, and it was my birthday. And my daughter Sarah's birthday is May 20th. So I remember all these things, and I had a little bit of grief, a little bit of reminders, but it wasn't too bad. So the waves of grief that can last hours, days, sometimes you have to ride them out, and then the wave crashes and you come down off of it. And hopefully God lifts us up and gives us peace and joy and comfort. That's been my experience, that God has given me comfort. But I got to tell you something. One of the things that I just recently really learned about all of this, one of the things also, there's what they call collective grief. And that usually happens when somebody else dies and you're going to grieve them, somebody else that you love. And then the grief from the previous grief comes back, and it's kind of all keeps rolling up into one ball. And for me, what I noticed is that I recently had some, you know, just failures of my own, things that I had to face of my own. And when I disappoint people and fail people, what I've noticed that since Liam died, it's harder. It's I'm harder on myself, and it triggers the grief. When there's failure, and it could be there, it's a lot of, sometimes it's little things, but sometimes it's big things. For example, I rented this, I was gonna, and this happened early on, but I rented one of those cherry pickers, because we were gonna, this neem tree in our front yard just got way out of control. And really, like, I didn't use it. I spent a lot of money on it, and I didn't get my money's worth. And I don't know, it didn't turn out the way. And I felt like, man, I wasted all that money. And wasting that money made, like, all this grief come up, this sense of failure, this sense of disappointment and grief. And there's been a few things that have happened since then. And most recently, I noticed that, you know, failures and letting people down or disappointments kind of stir that stuff up, and you're feeling like you're grieving all over again, the death of the person. It's tricky, you know? And so what I notice is that any kind of loss or failure it can trigger the grief, can trigger it. One of the things that's going on is the school that I'm teaching at, I've been there a long time, and they're getting ready to tear down the gymnasium. And Liam and I spent a lot of time there at South Fork in that old gymnasium. And it's kind of like I'm thinking, you know, when Liam was little, I sponsored the class of 98 at South Fork High School. So I was with them for 4 years as their sponsor. So I grew very close with them. And Liam was always around, and they loved him. They kind of adopted him as their mascot. So as we're talking as a staff about, man, okay, they're tearing this gym down because they put a new one up in front of the school, and they're going to tear the old one down. And a lot of us have memories attached. And I don't know, I'm feeling, like, you feel nostalgia and all, but I'm feeling a little grief pangs too. So all these things are related. And I think that it's that thing that I talk about, that sorrow, that deep, deep eternal sorrow that I think God feels, mixed with this unspeakable joy. This joy and sorrow that's mixed together in my life now is there's a sweetness to it. And I see people differently, and you become grateful for life, and you see people, your heart's broken wide open, and you see people. And so those are just some of my thoughts that I've been thinking and that I wanted to share with everyone. You know, that there's a lot of things that can trigger your grief. And as long as you know that, hey, you know, this is what's going on with me. A good friend of mine, very dear friend of mine, fell ill, and it's kind of touch and go right now. We don't know what's going to happen. There's another friend of mine in New Jersey that I had on this podcast. I've been trying to call him for days. If you remember, not dead yet, Joe Freeman, a real character. You can go back and listen to that podcast, but I think the Lord's going to take him home soon. And these are people that, you know, that were there for me. So those are some of my thoughts. One of the things that I'm looking forward to is we're going to have Greg and Dan come back. We're going to have Ginny Luther come back and talk about her book. When I talked to her, her book was just about to come out. And I've read her book, Blue Star Grit. And I'm looking forward to that. And I just want to encourage you, if you are early in your grief or if you're late in your grief, it's still just one day at a time. Look for all the miracles. Look for all the miracles around you every day. I would encourage you to read those books. There's a lot of great podcasts that John Burke is on with Imagine Heaven as well. Like I said, I am not an expert in any way. I'm sharing with you my experience going through grief, going through mourning and sorrow. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for life. And I'm grateful for the day that we have where there's going to be no more. I mean, you look at it. I have this joy and I have this sadness. And when I hear of all the war and the killing that's going on and the division in our country, it makes me sad. But I know that God has an eternal plan. I know that God has the last say. And I know that we're on this trajectory that is amazing, that God's going to fix everything. I had that vision of Liam running towards me as a little boy saying, "He fixed it, Dad. God fixed it all." And I want to leave you with that thought. God's going to fix it all. All of it. All of it is going to be fixed, and there's going to be the new heaven and the new earth, and he will wipe every tear from our eye. So I want to encourage you, and remember that God's grace is sufficient, his power is made perfect in weakness, and nothing, not even death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We feel the pain of separation, but they're closer than you think. Our loved ones, they're closer than you think.